of when he was shipping out, so I showed it to him. So tell me about those days when he looked inside, he closed his eyes, all he could say was, I hear bagpipes crying amazing bass, oh my heart beats in a crashing waves, oh glory drapes like heaven's mercy over the fallen souls. I see all the heroes who were willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace would keep us safe from harm till it brought us boys back.
Short. Sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
Get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way.
I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Boy, oh boy, what a night. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. 23rd of March, and it's a Monday. Wow, what a... I had to share Amy's laughing with you guys. That shark comment just about did her in. She had to run to the bathroom cross-legged here because he was about to wet her pants. So, and then cooking the food into shortening. That's another one. Yeah, you guys have... and then we found out B2's by... Oh, no, that's not what it said. It's by one of the verb... Oh, B2's not by. Oh, I see. Okay. Anyway. All right. I hope you... Unfortunate typo, yeah. Come on, Clock said. I hope you guys had a good weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on. Enjoy every good weekend that you can while you can. I had a good time this weekend. I went up early Friday, went up to, it's not too far from here at all. I was contemplating trying to come back here and do a show Friday night, but we were busy with the Boy Scouts, so these scouts went out there. I figured it was going to rain. It was like 80% all the whole weekend, and it didn't rain a drop on us. And the first day it was just a little bit cloudy and just warm enough to be comfortable. And we went out, and I'm a merit badge counselor here for the scouts for shooting and, you know, several other things, so camping and whatnot. So disaster preparedness and land navigation, I don't know what all it is, but anyway, it was shooting that they were trying to get this weekend, and one of my youngest scouts needed an overnight camp out and do some stuff for cooking and everything to pass on to his next level in scouting. So, so we went out there, and Friday we managed to get all the shooting done. That was pretty good because these scouts, believe it or not, were... I know it was contradictory to some of the things they'd been taught, but if I'd let them keep going the way they were, only maybe one of them would have got his merit badge. So we just started from scratch, and they were shooting 22s, and got them over by the end of the day. All of them had passed, not only passed, you know, part of the qualifications there say you have to shoot a five-shot groups that can be measured or covered with a quarter, or five three-shot groups that can be measured, covered with a quarter. And I'm going to tell you what, these guys, even the youngest one, 11 years old, by the time we were done that day, they were shooting groups you could cover with a quarter and get 20 cents change back out of them. I mean, they were doing really well. So that was a lot of fun. I was the sharding instructor. The okie doke long slide, good deal. No big rush as long as we get it here before time. Anyway, and by the way, we are getting some people signed up here for the class up in Yakima, Washington. So for those of you that want to get in on that, we've only got 12 coupon codes available for that one. So if you want to get in on the $100 discount, you need to get that in before those 12 are gone. But that doesn't mean you can't still get in there. It's just there's 12 coupons, and if you want to get in after that, you just lose out on $100. The Also, we've got, that's here. Yeah, we've got a Counter-Strike class coming up here again on the 11th. And then the evening of the 11th, we're doing another community emergency response training meeting. And then I've got, when is it? I think 17th, I've got CCW coming up on the 24th and 25th, I think it is, of April. We have another battlefield medic class coming up. I know we've got at least two guys coming down from Utah for this class. So, and that's, we try not to put in, oh yeah, B2, don't you worry about that. We try not to put more than 10, we could do maybe 12 on the medic class. About 10 is all we really like because there's a lot of hands-on stuff and everything. So there's about 10 is all we like. We can squeeze 12 in without any coupon. And Sue said I could just shart out another coupon or two. Sue, go stand in the corner. Anyway, all right, let's get on with our... Okay, now this one, I got this one late today. I got a whole bunch of other ones that were a little older and whatnot. But this guy, Davis County, Utah. He's a former sheriff of that county, William Lawrence. And matter of fact, he's 70 years old now, but he founded the SWAT team for that county. He created what they have now as a SWAT team. In 1974, he was elected sheriff. And a year later, he launched the department's first SWAT team. And I'm not sure why they needed a SWAT team in Davis County in 1974. But anyway, his preference was to resolve conflict without force. And his reputation became quite the legend around there. As a matter of fact, he was the type of guy. He was an Oath Keeper before Oath Keepers were invented. He actually wrote himself a parking ticket one time, if you can believe that. So, oh, dang it, I didn't even notice that. I can't park here. Damn, where's that ticket book at? I'm gonna... Wow. Anyway, he said Andy Griffith is the right way to do it. He diffused everything. He was a peace officer. You know, and this is funny that I've just read this far in this story, because I have something else to tell you that is very closely related to this in just a little bit. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it next on account of this story. But what happened, this is in Farmington, Utah. That's in Davis County. This was not exactly the way it is or was in Mayberry. In 2008, his son-in-law had a mental breakdown after a fight with his wife, barricaded himself in his truck when the police arrived and threatened to kill himself. What happened was a 12-hour standoff there with media all over it. Anyway, the sheriff arrived there right after that, responding in 7 minutes, he said. He offered to help, but was told to stand back. This was his son-in-law. He was the former sheriff, and they told him to stand back. He assured his family that they could trust the two officers on the scene, but that kind of went to hell there after a little while when the police presence grew into dozens. More than 100 police officers showed up, including 46 from the SWAT team. We have one guy, one, can you count to one? One, you do it like this, one, hold up, with that many fingers, that's only one guy, threatening to commit suicide. Unarmed, I might add. 100 cops showed up, including nearly half of them were the SWAT team that the sheriff, the ex-former sheriff, founded. Snipers on the roofs, military hardware coming in from all directions, and
The sheriff said they were far from defusing it. They were actually escalating it. And it was exactly opposite of everything that he'd preached all the years that he was sheriff. He was saying, "What in the hell are you doing? What in the hell are you doing?" Police tried to use tear gas and flashbangs to get him to surrender. He said that his son-in-law was both badly wounded and unarmed. As this continued, by 10 o'clock, the kid, well, he's not a kid, he was 32 years old. He was dead, killed by police gunfire. Lawrence said the final shot was fired by a sniper on the ground. I don't even get this. Why 100 cops? 50 SWAT members? Snipers? For an unarmed guy that was going to commit suicide. Seems to me like the one guy that should have been there was the father-in-law, the former sheriff. Everybody else should have backed up and went home. The one person that might have resolved this, maybe two, maybe the guy's wife, even though he was fighting with her, might could have done it. But anyway, he says, "I felt betrayed by my profession." They said that the police behaved just like someone tormenting an animal in a cage. It's like ISIS did that dog the other day and set him on fire in a cage. Law enforcement in Davis County ruled the shooting as justified. Wrongful death lawsuits filed by the family were dismissed. The former sheriff maintains the police were too quick to shoot. So many officers surrounding his son-in-law, they should have been able to walk him out without shooting him. From 2010 to November 14th, 45 people were killed by police in Utah, more than the number of Utahns killed by child abuse or gang or drug-related violence. All but one were found justified, but the criminal charge was dismissed, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. The former sheriff is investigating a handful of those shootings, says he thinks he can prove they defied official police protocol. One case is scheduled for trial, civil trial, in July. Convinced that his son-in-law's shooting was unjustified, Lawrence, has been on a mission to prove that. In an airport hangar that serves as his command center, Lawrence stores hundreds of photos, binders, and videos, all of which he studied meticulously. This is all the evidence the police missed. All of this should have been collected and placed in evidence before or because you have a homicide. Sometimes the police don't collect evidence because it may incriminate them. Imagine that. Filmmakers made Lawrence the centerpiece of a documentary called Peace Officer, detailing the militarization of American police. On Tuesday, the film was named the grand jury winner in the South by Southwest Festival's documentary feature competition. There's not too much more of this. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this because it's relevant. We like the metaphor with him owning a septic tank company and he's kind of doing like the dirty work in our society. When he's not running his septic business, Lawrence has become a one-man police watchdog, investigating other shootings, uncovering what he says is evidence of cover-ups by law enforcement. He's going to wind up dead, is what's going to happen. He has also become a critic of increasingly military posture of police, including the SWAT team that he created. Thanks to military surplus shopping, many police departments are starting to look like they're better suited for Fallujah than Farmington. Congress never voted to militarize the police, and I think that catches people off guard. They don't remember being consulted as citizens as how special forces would be used in an increasingly military way, and no states right now are looking at serious reform or at least public oversight. Utah is one of the first that is even tracking how they are being used. Lawrence says there's a legitimate reason to have a SWAT unit, but the present-day incarnation of that team is not what he envisioned. They've gone too far. People across the country are experiencing the same thing I've experienced, they have no voice. Well, as you might expect, of course, this was posted all over Facebook. And I saw it, read part of it, and I said, well, this is something I need to get out there. So I put it in a couple places on Facebook. And the very first comment, first rattle out of the box, nobody had said anything except that there wasn't even any likes on there. It was brand new. This guy come on there and says, please don't let this turn into a cop bashing site. And I said, really? I mean, you're the only one that said anything. I said, let me explain something to you. Some of us see what is happening around us, everything that is happening around us. This is a news article. No one has responded to it but you. If the cops in this incident or any other were wrong, they were wrong. If they were wrong, they are a disgrace to their badge and the oath that they took. If they were wrong, I will be the first to bash them. I'm sick and tired of so many cops acting outside the law, and even sicker of those that protect and support them. And he comes back in and says, so you are cop bashing. Even after I didn't. I said, if they were wrong. So anyway, another guy agreed on here, and his wife is a law enforcement family, and they agree and everything else. And this guy, I can't even tell you what the guy said after that. I mean, I can't even say half of the sentence. But anyway, right then he got kicked out and blocked right then. So I said, I told him I don't understand this attitude, but it speaks for itself. And I don't see how, when you read this story, how you can continue to support this guy. Obviously, hang on a minute. I'd say that the chances are extremely high that this guy is a cop. And I couldn't believe another guy said, isn't that what good warriors hold themselves to, a higher standard? And somebody thanked me for all that I do and all that. But I said, another guy said, I just want to know if this guy thinks they were justified in this case. He said, I'm not one to bash cops in general, but like this case, or the case where the infant was injured with a flashbang. Y'all remember that story. We talked about it here several times. Officers need to be held responsible when they screw up, just like anyone else. So, lest anyone think that I was just put this out there just to be putting it out to be bashing cops, I said, let me make sure everyone understands where I stand on this. I'll make sure that I'm clear. And you guys already, I've told you this before, but I put this out on Facebook, and I want everybody to know that I'm also not one to bash cops in general. Said, I have the utmost respect for the job, the uniform, and the oath. I respect Andy of Mayberry, peace officers. However, I have very little respect for what is now called law enforcement officers, or in other words, revenue generators. That being said, every cop that I meet or hear about is a peace officer in my eyes until he or she proves otherwise. There are simply too many cases of people being murdered and abused to assume that all or even the majority of cops are the shining example of righteousness that they used to be. But they are all Andy of Mayberry until they prove otherwise. I should add also that if you're an oath breaker, if you think you can violate people's rights and hurt them with total impunity, if you think you're better than the citizens that you serve, then I despise you. You're the scum of the earth. It is so hard to teach our children respect for law and decency when we have law enforcement officers whose actions are diametrically opposed to everything that we teach. Officers who have earned fear instead of respect by their actions and words. Officers who shoot first out of fear rather than good judgment. I despise everything that you are. The time will come in this country when the citizens that you serve will wake up and realize that they outnumber the hell out of you. The time will come when you will fear to show up for your own shift. The citizens that you serve will not trustingly stand and wait for the train to Auschwitz like their Jewish brethren did. And I'm sure that some of you guys recognize some of that out of that thing that I wrote a couple of years ago, the accountability deal. Actually, I even posted that on there for him to listen to. But that kind of thing just infuriates the hell out of me. I can't believe that you could read this story, that 100 cops show up, complete with artillery and snipers, for an unarmed man wanting to, that's wanting to commit suicide, and not look at this and say, wow, that is absolutely, even as a cop, that is absolutely the, it's against everything that I stand for. I mean, that's what I'm saying, that cops ought to be saying. They ought to look at this and say, that is completely opposite of everything that I've learned and everything that I do. But no, you get this moron gets on Facebook and says, don't let this turn into a cop bashing site. They deserve to be bashed. That's not all they deserve. I think they deserve much, much worse punishment than what they're getting. They're getting nothing. They find it justified. It's justified to send 100 cops in for one guy that's one unarmed guy that's planning to commit suicide. Ziva, that medic class is 250 bucks. It's 395 usually, but I do 250 when I'm doing it here locally. I say when I'm doing it. I have another guy that does the overwhelming majority of the class. I just do parts and pieces of it. Peanut Rider, I do believe that there are places, there are justification for SWAT teams. But they're not to be called out for every single little thing that goes on, for everybody that goes to commit suicide, or everybody that slap somebody or whatever. They don't need to call in, they don't need to have 45 SWAT members show up for a training exercise for somebody that is going to commit suicide. His father-in-law could have probably gone in there and talked him out of it, I'm pretty sure. Peanut Rider, yeah, they're going to pay the price. Sooner or later, they're going to pay the price. It's there's no way that these guys are going to continue to get. One of these days, people are going to, something's going to happen in an area where there's already ill feelings, high tensions. And something like this is going to happen, and it's going to blow sky high. So, yeah, Hopper, that's a good point. How many of them just stood there and couldn't say, well, there's damn sure enough here already. Why don't I just go on home and let y'all handle it? Yakima Glock, that's exactly right. Hostage situations, bank robberies, and that's not even all bank robberies. You know, that's, if there's hostages, primarily that's probably their biggest calling, I think. But anyway, all right. Well, we need to take a little break here, and I was gonna play something special here and I forgot to bring it up, so let me just find something else here. And Amy's finally calmed down a little bit, so man, you guys had her dying here. Alright, well let's just play this, and that'll give me time to enjoy this ice cold Diet Dr. Pepper here, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Red hot, That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. Yeah, matter of fact, Clint Beyer is going to be at the Arms Expo in Yakima in June. So go check him out up there. Now those barrels are not cheap. So it just depends on what you're willing to pay for accuracy. You can get a Butler Creek barrel and get mediocre accuracy. Actually, you can get pretty good accuracy out of it if you're good enough. But if you're good enough, you won't realize the accuracy of your 10-22 until you put a Byard barrel on it. I've got two of them with Byard barrels on them. And I'll guarantee you that they are tack drivers. They'll shoot circles around the Butler Creek barrels. Yeah, Peanut Rider, we've talked a lot about that shootout in North Hollywood in 97. That could have been solved with a guy with a single shot 22 if they'd have just had enough training to do it. They weren't outgunned, as everybody said. They were out trained. They were out dedicated is all they were. That could have been easily taken care of with a lot less artillery than they thought they needed there. Anyway, let's go on. Let me get back up here and find my list of stuff here. You know, this is a great story. This is out of Iowa. Iowa Cat, Davenport, Iowa. There's an attorney there, believe it or not, that supports the Second Amendment to such a degree that he has come up with a way to encourage people to carry, his employees to carry at work. He's offering them an extra $50 a month in their paycheck if they will carry on the job. I think that's a pretty good deal. He said, if someone doesn't want to own a gun, I'm not going to try to make them. If someone does want to own a gun, I think that's their constitutional right as well, and I encourage that. I think that responsible and safe gun ownership is just a good thing for each individual. It's a good thing for society, and if I can encourage it, I think it's kind of my duty to do that. Very good. Unlikely that his law firm will be robbed anytime in the near future, I think. But he's also a certified NRA instructor and teaches the courses that people need to get their permits. So he's even got targets hanging up in his office. So I think that's a pretty cool deal. So let's see. I've got some other stories related to that. Let me get back. Did you guys hear about the shootout we had at a Walmart here in Arizona, down in Cottonwood, Arizona? What is this that just popped up here? I don't know what that is. I'm going to close it and get rid of it anyway. We had quite the little battle here. Apparently there was a family from Idaho there, and they got in some kind of a squabble, and the cops got involved, and it turned into a full-fledged gun battle here. 17 people involved in it. One of them was killed. A cop was shot. Another guy got his arm broke. And there was brass all over the parking lot there from all the little markers I saw there. And not sure just exactly all of the details about who all was involved. I don't know if it was 17 people. And I know there was two cops there, but there ain't a whole lot of cops in Cottonwood, so I don't know how many more of them were cops. But anyway, there's here's speaking of feds doing, or law enforcement in general, doing things to people that they ought not to be doing. There's a, hey, do you like that? Ought not to be doing, ought not, ought to be doing, ought not to be. Ought not to be, that's pretty cool. I like that word. I think I'm going to use that in Scrabble next time we play. You'd probably look it up, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy was arrested for refusing to answer questions. Now, I don't agree with the way this guy went about this. He was stopped, and he's got a 4-year-old boy with him and his wife. And the agent that stopped him at the border said, "How are you? Where are you going today?" He said, "I'm sorry, sir, I don't have to answer that question." Okay, that's true. I understand that. But, you know, some of these people that do this kind of stuff once in a while have to understand that discretion is the better part of valor. When you have a child with you that could easily be taken into custody by, you know, CPS or killed, injured in some way, taken from you, you don't have to tell the truth about where you're going. You could just tell him, "I'm just going up the road here a little ways, find a rest area, and pull over and eat a sandwich." You know, that's all we're going to do. You don't have to tell him the truth. You can lie to him. I don't care. Lying's okay in a situation like that. But to stand right there and tell him that, it's going to, chances are, it's not always going to work out as rosy as some of the videos on YouTube. And this went on. It was repeated, and the agent tells the guy to park over to the side. And he said, and the man said, "For what? For what?" And the video, the camera was mounted on the car's dashboard, shows the agent reaching into the man's window. He says, "Get your hands out of my car." And the man then pushes the agent's arm out of the window while the agent opens the door. Okay, now if you're going to do stuff like this, you roll your window down an inch and you have your doors locked to start with. And give buy yourself a little bit of time. But the man's response to this, he said, "This is assault. What is your reasonable suspicion?" The agent asked for the man's citizenship, and he said, "That I'll answer. I'm a United States citizen." The agent asked the same question of the woman, his wife.
who said that she was also a U.S. citizen. Then he proceeds to ask a series of questions. Is that your son in the back? Do you have anything illegal in the trunk? Pop the trunk. The man says, no, you can't look. I don't consent to any searches or seizures. He also asks the agent once more, what's your reasonable suspicion? That's when the agent told him, put the car in park and get out of the vehicle. See, I still think the man was absolutely right. He was completely within his rights. But it just doesn't make it always the right thing to do. There's, there's certain things that, you risk your kids, risk your family when you must, if it boils down to a very, but this, in a case like this, you didn't have to. In this case, he could have easily said, I'm just going to the next town to get a motel. That's all I'm doing. Or we're just out for a drive. I don't know. We're not going anyplace in particular right now. But I think this was the wrong way to handle this. So the man asked again what his reasonable suspicion was. And the man said, dude, what is your problem? I've got to unbuckle my seatbelt. You're being recorded. And the agent says he's aware of that. And the man says, good, I'm going to sue the hell out of you. The agent said, I'm not doing anything against policy. Then the camera showed the man being pushed up against the side of the vehicle, ordered to spread his leg, and the son bawling and throwing a fit in the back. And he said, the agent said, you brought this on yourself. So the man's escorted away. The woman's getting out, and she says, I'm coming back from a doctor's appointment. I think she said she was pregnant here somewhere. I'm not sure. The agent said, is there any medication in the vehicle? The woman said, there might be. I just come from the doctor. He said, your husband put us in this bind. Okay, step out. And he tries to order the child out of the car, and the kid's crying, so he's screaming hysterically, so he let the woman get him out instead. And then the woman, who's using a cane, followed the agents with her car in there and said, I've never been arrested before. But anyway, the agent moved the car and turned off the video. I always wonder how some of these videos make it to the, make it, you'd think that he might have pulled the SD card out of it or something and said, well, you turned it on, but you didn't put a card in it. I didn't see anything. I wonder how these things are. Maybe he's just so bold and so arrogant that he really believes that he's doing the right thing, that he's all within policy. So, and I have to wonder, why is there... never mind. It doesn't say where this one was. Anyway, it just says Border Patrol. So, but these are the kind of things that, now, was the cop in the right? No, he wasn't in the right. He wasn't, didn't seem to be nearly as belligerent or invasive, intrusive as some of the other ones, but nevertheless, he was wrong in what he was doing. Okay, the man was in the right, but he could have de-escalated this thing real easily. And when Anthony Bosworth went to Spokane, he knew that things could possibly get hot there. And he ordered his children to stay home. I understand that. I have no problem with anything that happened in Spokane, Washington that weekend. But when your kids are with you, I'll give you another good example. I'll give you a damn fine example. I was coming into, I was going to take my youngest into, over Hoover Dam. She'd never been over Hoover Dam. Or at least not since she was so little she couldn't remember.
And actually, I don't think she ever has been. She hadn't. The last few times she's been to Vegas, it's been over the new bridge. So, anyway, she we were going to go down there, and they still had the old checkpoint down there at the bottom, and I didn't even think about it. They had a metal box in the back of the truck. They wanted to look in it, and I stepped out of the truck, and they saw my gun, and went all berserk over it, and ordered me to turn around and get the truck out of there. I guess they could have arrested me just like they did Anthony, although they would have been just as wrong and everything else. But I chose not to argue and not to do anything other than leave because my daughter was with me. And that was, you know, that's the bottom line. Would I have, you know, if there was well, I'll leave it at that for right now. There's other things I could say, but we'll leave it at that. But sometimes you just have to be smart in your fights. That's all there is. All there is to it. And I would suggest that each and every one of you think real seriously about that right now, because there's going to be times that we just saw one where, who was it, Peanut Rider, I think, said that they sent 30 SWAT members to arrest him for, what was it, if I can go back here and find it, for a parking ticket or whatever it was. Pretty minor deal. So it could happen to any of us. So if you think you can get into this, don't exercise your right to a point that you are, would be considered belligerent or whatever. And especially when you have kids with you or something, if you're going to be late for your own wedding or something, that's okay. That's up to you. But don't get your kids involved in this. And the thing is, Yakima Glock, when you say you went across with your rifle in the truck, I have gone across there numerous times with guns in the truck and going to a training facility out there, which will remain unnamed. And thousands of rounds of ammo, and I told them when we went across there. And they never had any problem, but the thing was, is it was in the car. And I think that when I got out of the car, that caused them to go bananas out there when I got out of the truck. I don't know what their problem was, and I was completely in the right. I could have beat that. That has nothing to do with federal property. This is a completely different deal from what Bosworth went through, because February 22nd of 2009, they changed the law saying that, which went into effect, I believe, in 2010. I don't remember, but anyway, they changed the law that said if you are carrying any national park or national monument, that is perfectly legal as long as you're obeying the laws of the state that the national park or national monument is in. So you're pretty safe in Grand Canyon, Hoover Dam, Chaco Canyon, whatever, but not so much in Yosemite or Niagara Falls. So it was it was different, but it was the same. So all that being said, I think that I'm going to ease on out of here, and I'm going to convince my lovely wife to watch a movie with me here in a little bit, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Glad you could join us, and have a good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. if there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.